reading from Startide Rising by David Brin, Chapter 15, Stenos. Moki, Sarika Pol, and Hakuka Joe spent their latest off-duty period, as they had spent every one for weeks, complaining. "He was down in my section again today," Sarika Pol griped, sticking his jaw into everybody's work. "Thinks he's so discreet, but he fills the soundscape with his kenink echoes." Moki nodded. There wasn't any doubt who he was. "Crying, crooning, talk, talk, rhythms, my group wags tails to his logic, logic." Hakuka Joe winced. Moki seldom spoke Anglic anymore, and his trinary had a little too much primal in it to be decent. But Sarika Pol obviously thought Moki's point valid. "All the Tersiops worship Kredeki. They imitate him and try to act like Kanink adepts. Even half of our Stenos seem just as swallowed by his spell." "Well, if he can get us out of here alive, I will forgive even his nosy inspections," Hakuka Joe suggested. Moki tossed his head. "Alive, alive, to deep, rich waters. Follow, follow a rough-toothed leader." "Will you make quiet?" Hakuka Joe swung about quickly to listen to the echoes in the rest area. A few crewfen were gathered by the food machines. They gave no sign of having heard. "Heed your scatter. You're already in trouble without clicking mutiny talk. I hear Dr. Metz has gone to Takata Gym to ask about you." Moki smirked defiantly. Sarika Pol agreed with Moki's unspoken comment. "Metz won't do anything," Sarika Pol said. "It's common knowledge. Half the Stenos aboard were chosen by him. We're his babies," Sarika Pol crooned. "With Orly and Tisht gone, and Hikahi in sickbay, the onlys we gotta watch out for is the chief smartass himself." Hakuka Joe looked about wildly. "You too? Look, will you be quiet? Here comes Kathajan." The other two turned the way he indicated. They saw a huge neofin swim out of a hull lift and head their way. Dolphins half his size got out of the giant's way quickly. "So what? He is of us," Sarika Pol said uncertainly. "He's also a bosun," Hakuka Joe answered hotly. "He hates Tersiops, smartasses, too," Moki cut in Anglic. "Maybe. But if so, he keeps it to himself. He knows how humans feel about racism." Moki looked away. The dark mottled dolphin was like a lot of fins in holding the patron race in a sort of superstitious dread. He countered weakly in trinary. "Ask the black men, the brown and yellow men. Ask the whales about human racism." "That was a long time ago," Hakuka Joe snapped, somewhat shocked. "And humans had no patrons to guide them." "Just so," Sarika Pol said, but his agreement sounded unsure. They all shut up as Kathajan approached. Hakuka Joe felt a recurring chill on contemplating the bosun. Kathajan was a giant, surpassing 3 meters in length, with a girth that 2 men couldn't span with their arms. His bottlenose was blunt, and unlike the other so-called Stenos aboard, his coloring was not mottled, but deeply countershaded. Rumor had it Kathajan was another of Dr. Metz's special cases. The giant swam up nearby and exhaled a loud spurt of bubbles. His open jaws displayed a fearful array of rough teeth. The others almost unconsciously adapted a submissive posture, eyes averted, food mouths closed. "I hear there's been more fighting," Kathajan rumbled in deep underwater Anglic. "Fortunately, I was able to bribe Senior Bosun Sathata with a rare Sensi tape, and he agreed not to report it to the captain. I'll expect the cost of the tape to be covered by somebody with interest. Moki seemed about to speak, but Kathah John cut him off. No excuses. Your temper is a burden I can do without. Satata would have been right to challenge you for biting him from behind like that. Dare him! Dare him! Terciops, coward! Dare him! Moki barely blatted out the beginning before being slammed amidships by a blow from Kathah John's mighty flukes. He slewed several meters through the water before coming to rest, whistling in pain. Kathah John came close and murmured softly, "You are Terciops. That is the name of our entire library-registered species. Terciops amicus. Friendly bottle nose. Ask Dr. Metz if you don't believe me. Embarrass the rest of us aboard, who have Stenos grafts in our genes. Vice Captain Takata Jim and myself, for instance, by acting like an animal. And I will show you how to be a friendly bottlenose. I'll use your guts for hawsers." Moki trembled and turned away, jaw closed tightly. Kathah John swept the cowering fin with a contemptuous spray of sonar, then turned to regard the others. Hakuka Joe and Sarika Pol looked idly at the bright, decorative Garibaldi and angelfish, which were allowed to swim unmolested throughout the central bay. Hakuka Joe whistled softly. "Break is almost over," the bosun snapped. "Back to work, and save your hatred for your private time." Kathah John turned about and sped away, the turbulence from his flukes almost toppling the others. Hakuka Joe watched him go, then whistled a long, low sigh. "That should do it," Kathah John thought as he hurried off to duties in the cargo section. Moki, especially, would be quiet for a while. He had better be. If there was anything he and Takata Jim did not need, it was a spate of racist innuendo and suspicion. Nothing would unite the humans in alienation like that sort of thing. And catch the attention of Kraydeki, too. Takata Jim insists we give the captain one more chance to come up with a plan to get us home alive. All right, then. I can wait. But what if he doesn't? What if he keeps asking for sacrifice from a crew that never volunteered to be heroes? In that case, someone would have to be able to present the crew with an alternative to follow. Takata Jim was still reluctant, but that might not last. If the time did come, they would need human support, and Moki's kind of interracial bullying would wreck the chances of that. Kathah John intended to ride close herd on that Stenos to keep him nice and docile. Even if it was nice, from time to time, to chew the tail of some bloody, shore-hugging, sanctimonious, smart-ass Terciops.